All right, quick show of hands. Let's do it. Who here is tired? Maybe we're here is not us. Isn't it true that how often when people ask you how, and you're not allowed to start yawning, then it's going to make me tired. How often has it been? Do you do that a lot? Out of curiosity. Now, Joshua does it a lot. He's so tired. Okay, but you didn't die. Okay, well, that's good. I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah, Joshua, I see, and it's funny, I found myself recently saying that a lot as, oh, tired. Hey, how you doing? Are you first week of teaching school after a pandemic tired? That's pretty tired. Are you, yeah, there we go. I knew I was going to get one. Yeah. And Heather was out for the hour. Are you tired, Heather? You're exhausted. Now, how exhausted are you?
Yes.
Yes. And how long have you been that tired?
A month and a half.
A month and a half. Yeah. Like, it just seems to be that weary you are most tired. I was contemplating this, and I think I remember the time that I was the most tired. I was at Concordia University. I'd been nominated for a special award. So we were going to go up and do this presentation, like up in Napa somewhere, I think. And so we were going to drive up as this group, as this the theater group that was going to be gone for a couple of days. I was saddened because I had just started dating this really beautiful girl. And I was like, stay up, going to see night, talking with her, and then at 9 in the morning, I look at my watch and I realize I get there. I'm exhausted. I am so tired. Thankfully, there was another guy who was supposed to drive. Now, I'm not going to say his name because he currently works. I'll drive. I'm like, dude, that would be so great. I am exhausted. I said, I'm going to take a little nap in the back and that'll be great. So, no, it wasn't past 3. Sorry. Yeah. So we start driving. Of course, I get in the back seat, and it is no joke. I am so tired. I shut my eyes, shaking. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, and I didn't realize that I had fallen asleep. And the van was shaking violently. And so-and-so is falling asleep at the wheel. He's so tired. You need to drive. And I'm like, How long have we been driving? He said, we've only been like driving a half an hour. Good, I will go. And let me tell you, I was so tired driving. Have you been tired like that? Because when we're physically exhausted, we always have something that we're looking forward to. And what are we looking forward to? Looking forward to some sleep. Like somehow or other, it's going to show up. Next thing you know, we are asleep. We always have sleep that we can look forward to. Now, the question is for you, have you been wearied, but are you just tired from everything that's going on in the world? Are you just tired from your circumstances? Maybe you're dealing with a job loss, and now your stress level is so high, you have no idea how you're going to do things, or you're thinking about the future and you have no idea, like, well, what's going to happen to me in the future? And you just think about it, and you just simply get weary, kind of weariness. I was thinking about this because I think for a lot of us, we would say that when we are spiritually or we weary, to veg out a little bit. Like, just, can I have, you know, maybe a couple hours to myself? Turn on YouTube or TikTok, just text. Curiosity, when you do that, does that give you relief? Does that actually give you relief? A little bit? Weariness of the, it's a, gets really challenging. Joshua, yes? I think that's exactly right. I think you are distracting the rest you need to actually battle the weariness that you are under. Now, I did hear it because I said, what? Always the correct answer, and that's Jesus. But I was very surprised at what the writer of Hebrews said, because I don't know if I've really looked at it up, but I want you to think about this as we go through the sermon. His main thought is this: work hard. I should work hard at getting rest. It seems counterproductive. But I think to myself, well, what is my answers? My answers are always that, you know, just let me sit and veg. Let me just get on the phone. Let me just do some crossword puzzles or crush some candies. Let me just sit and have no one around me for a time period. But all that it does is gives us a temporary relief, and it doesn't actually give us rest. Deep, abiding, abounding rest. That's why he is going on, and you will see that God has a Sabbath rest for you, and it has nothing to do with how much sleep you're getting a night. But it has everything to do with identifying who you are and what God has planned for you. Hebrews chapter 4, y'all there? All right, let's go through this. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Now, the word "be careful" is probably, well, it should be, I understand. The original is, it should say "be fearful." But I know that when it comes to God, we have an issue when it comes to fearing God, right? We hear the phrase "fear God," and for some people, they don't like that. And I get it. You know, it's not fear like Halloween, you know, Freddy Krueger is going to stab me with a knife fear. And it's not even fear of like an abusive father. That's not the type of fear. It's the other kind of fear. It's the respect kind of fear. It's knowing where your place is type of fear. Oh, it's awe, it's reverence, it's all of those things wrapped up. And so making sure that we have some fear in us when it comes about entering rest so that none of us fall short of it, because there is going to come a time when we get the ultimate rest. And we're not there yet. At least I'm not there yet, and you aren't either. And the reason why I know that is because you're still alive. But those who die enter into that Sabbath rest. And again, it's not a cessation of activities, but it's now resting in who God is. And so the first thing that the writer wants to make sure you have is, do you have salvation? Are you a believer? I get really sensitive on this type of stuff. I really do, because I always get so nervous when I talk to someone about salvation and they say, well, I sure hope I'm saved. And I'm like, oh, man, like, I don't want you to hope that you're saved. I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to be confident that you're saved. I want you to be, if I looked at you and said, if you died tonight, are you going to heaven? You would say, absolutely, because Jesus is my Savior. That's what I want to hear. But we don't want to be too arrogant, right? You know, Christians can't be. No, I want you to be arrogant when it comes to your salvation. You are saved. Why? Because of Jesus. Not because of anything you did, but all because of Jesus. So we have this rest that we are looking forward to. But look at what he continues on. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. So the people of the Israelite nation that was wandering around, they would hear God's word, but they would not combine it with faith. And because of that, they would never rest. Start thinking about this. I believe that this is what Jesus refers to when he speaks the parable about the wise and the foolish person. I was actually just talking about this with someone the other day. It's one of those parables that everyone has heard, but no one really understands. Because we've been taught it as a little Christian kid song, And in fact, it was interesting. I asked this person, I said, hey, so, you know, the wise man builds his house on the rock, you know, and the rains come down and the floods come up, but the house on the rock stood firm. And, you know, then you got the foolish man and the house on the sand went splat. And I said, so what does it mean to build your house on the rock? And she said, well, believe in Jesus. And I go, no, it has nothing to do with believing in Jesus. And she's like, what? And I'm like, but Jesus is the cornerstone. I said, yeah, Jesus is the cornerstone. There's lots of other passages that deal with Jesus as the rock, but that's not one of them. And she said, well, then what about the foolish person? Isn't that just someone without Jesus? No, that person also has faith. And she's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, just read the parable. So I told her, I said, so it goes like this. A person who hears my word and does not put it into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. So is that person hearing God's word? Yeah, that person is actually at church or in a faith community. They are hearing God's word, but they are choosing not to put it into practice. And God says, if that happens, you are going to end up faltering. And everything you try to do is going to end up getting destroyed because you're hearing my word, but you're not putting it in practice. You're not having faith with it. On the contrary, those who hear the word of God and put it into practice is like a wise person who builds their house on the rock. So right from the beginning, when you talk about hearing God's word, this is one of the reasons why I think a lot of people get weary in this life, is they hear God's word and they go, oh, that's nice, and then they don't do anything about it. They say, yeah, I understand God has a plan for me, but I have a better plan. Yeah, I understand God wants me to do X, Y, and Z, but I'd rather do this stuff over here. I think it's more fun. When you do that, you will become weary. You will not be restful. You will wonder, why are things not working out? Why am I so tired spiritually? Is maybe one of the reasons that you hear the word of God and then you just simply ignore it. And if that's what you do, I know when I've done it. I've heard God's word and then decided not to do it. Things did not turn out well for me, and I was tired, and it seems like I was always fighting, and I was always battling, but I was getting nowhere, kind of like rowing a boat while still having the anchor tied down. I'm not getting anywhere. And so we got to start by saying, am I serious about having my faith do something to my life? If you just come to church, I've never understood this. Why do people come to church if you're not going to do what the Word of God says? I mean, why are you here? I mean, it must be because of the awesome band, right? Or it must be because of the cool decorations? Or why are you here? If you're not here to follow God, you're going to be tired spiritually. It will become wearying over and over and over again. So it starts off by saying, take what you hear, combine it with faith. Verse 3, now we who have believed, enter that rest. That's the promise. If you believe, and it's not believe as in, i.e., yes, Jesus is the Son of God. The writer of Hebrews and the writer of James had very similar thinking. Question: do demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. So they've entered into rest. No, because they don't combine the truth with faith, meaning doing something about it. Yes, Becca. Well, again, it's not about whether their fate is sealed or not. It's just the fact that they have that knowledge. But they chose a long time ago, which is what ended up causing them to be sealed in that fate, is they chose to say, I don't want to follow God's path. I want to do it my own way. We don't know exactly the mechanics. Some people believe it was because Satan was a really good singer, and he was like, look at me, I'm so awesome. I don't believe any of that stuff. There's all this folklore around it. But it's the fact that they know what the truth is, but they choose not to do the truth. I've said this before. This is the easiest thing is losing weight. How do you lose weight? Eat less, exercise more. It's actually a pretty, like, you should take in fewer calories than you are expending. So if you eat more than you are expending, then you will not get, and people are like, I've tried so many diets. Well, it's actually very simple. And a lot of people are like, well, I want to do this. And I the reason why I do this is because I think of it myself. I actually, confession time, I put on this shirt today. It's a little tight. And it wasn't this tight before. And right now, my stomach is really hurting. Because you know what I'm doing right now? I'm sucking in my gut the whole time. And it's starting to hurt a little bit. Because I know that really, if I want to lose some weight, I need to. That it's very simple. Same thing with God. Same thing with weariness of your life. If you are spiritually wondering why is stuff always falling apart, maybe it has to do with the fact that you know what God wants you to do. You are aware of his plan for your life, but you choose not to do it anyway. And you're always fighting with God, and you're always restless. And that's why God says, look, if you're not going to put my stuff into practice, I declared on oath in my anger that they shall never enter my rest. And you remember that was a whole group that wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, and they never got to see the promised land. And he goes on, he says, and yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. And so he goes on to this wonderful thing to talk about God. Out of curiosity, does God take rests? Is it because he's tired? No. It's amazing. Look at this, verse 4. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall not enter my rest. And so God says, I'm going to rest. And it was so wonderful that he did that, because it wasn't like he finished up 6 days of creation and was like, oh my gosh, I need to take a break. I think I'm going to sit back, relax a little bit. You know, let's binge a little MacGyver. This is going to be fun. No. What God did was he rested, not because he had to, because he was showing us how important it was. It blows my mind to think that God took a break. Of anyone that I think that should just be working nonstop, I think it would be God. But he says, you want to know how important this is for you? I'll rest so that you also rest. And that's the reason why, again, it made it into one of the top 10 commandments of God. Remember the Sabbath day. Sabbath day of rest. You're supposed to have rest and relaxing. You're supposed to praise and worship God and reconnect with him. And I've always challenged people who've said, I've got to work 7 days a week. Usually that comes from a lack of faith, right? If I have to work 7 days a week, that means I'm not trusting that God is going to actually provide for me. Yes, Becca? Oh, my gosh, yeah. And again, I think it does have something to do with physical rest, but it's much more to do with mental rest and mental health. You know, a lot of people, they feel like they have to give. And I'm like, wow, man, you're better than Jesus. How many times did Jesus pull away from the crowd did the crowd need him? Oh, my gosh, the crowd needed him. He walked into the pool of Bethesda, and there's dozens of people who are crippled and blind and maimed. And what does he do? Heals one person and then leaves. What a heartless, callous person that Jesus is. I'm really glad I was not struck by lightning right there. That was really good. Because Jesus understands sarcasm. Don't you, Jesus? Yeah. Good, the Raiders are currently losing by 21 points. There's your punishment, Manning. Shut up. Yeah, I think that this has to do with the fact that when we rest in God, and he's going to talk about it, I'm going to keep hammering it, you've got to work at it. You've got to work to rest. Like I said, this is new material for me. I've heard of people like this. I had a buddy of mine who was told years ago when he would go on vacations, he's like, I had a therapist tell me once, when I go on vacation, I need to vacation hard because I work hard. And I'm like, vacation hard? Like, what does that mean? And after I talked to them, I think that's what this is talking about. He worked hard at resting. He was going to go, and how many of you have gone on vacation, and after vacation, you come home and you say you need a vacation from your vacation? Oh, my gosh. And why is that? Probably because we just sat there. Or maybe we did too much. I don't know. And again, is it about physical or mental and emotional? I think there's some differences there. So let's keep going, or we're going to be here for a while. Six, is that where I'm at? Yes, yeah, six. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You're hearing God's word right now. If you wish, you can leave. I'm telling you, it's probably not Satan himself, but I tell you there are demonic forces right outside this building. God told a parable about that, that when God's word is preached, for some people it's like stuff lands on a path and then the birds of the air come and swoop it up, and thankfully the disciples were like, Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, that's like the evil one is coming to take. I'm telling you, it happens so often. When you read your Bible, right there, there's evil trying to take it away from you. And say something like, that doesn't apply to you. Have you ever sat there and listened to a sermon and say, great sermon, doesn't really apply to me? Yeah, that's the devil working overtime. If you're leaving out of here and it's all about learning how to be patient, and then you get on the road and then you start honking at every person that's in front of you, maybe that's Satan trying to take all that stuff away. If God is telling you to learn what it means to love your neighbor, and then you hop on to Facebook and Instagram and you start lambasting other people, that's what I'm saying. This, are you hearing it and then putting it into practice? Put it in practice. You don't harden your hearts. Don't say, this has nothing to do with me. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work. It's really interesting because the writer of Hebrews actually makes up a word right there. It's a Greek word. It only shows up here. That word Sabbath rest, it'd probably be better translated Sabbath praise. There exists for people that we praise God, that we should be regularly praising God. And I don't know about you, it works for me. I forget this constantly because the devil hates me and the devil hates you. When I'm praising God, stuff goes away. When I'm praising God and I'm thinking of how great he is, and that's where my mind is at, let me tell you how I finally get a little bit of rest and peace, because I'm reminded of who God is. And I'm telling you right now, it's hard to do. I confess to you so many times, I have no idea why, and I work on this, I do. I don't know how many times during the opening worship here at Searchlight, I'm not worshiping. I'm thinking about 100 other things. I'm looking at YouTube. Is the YouTube channel up? Oh my gosh, wow, the bass is a little loud. Oh, that drummer, he's so awesome. No, I was being nice to you, Jake. I was like, who's here? Right. This happens at communion time, right? I've always had a problem with flow through communion, because what happens at flow through communion? People get up and you're like, oh, they're here today. Oh, that's a nice outfit they got on. That's really cool. I haven't seen them in a while. What's wrong with them? Where are their kids? Why aren't their kids here? Where's their parents? Their parents are here? Why is Daisy here and their parents aren't? This is weird. And you just start thinking, and what are you supposed to be doing? Thinking on God, you're entering into rest. How often? I feel like we are people, I am the worst person to travel with when it comes to road trips. Because I thankfully have been given the ability to go for long periods of times without having to use the restroom. I can go hours. And then I ended up marrying a woman who's got a bladder the size of a gnat. And I'm not teasing her. If she was here, she would say, yes, I have a bladder the size of a gnat. So when we go on road trips, I get annoyed, right? Because we're driving, and what does it say? Rest stop ahead. You know what my wife says? Let's stop. And I'm like, no, let's go. Let's get this going. How many of us do that spiritually? God gives you opportunity to rest during the week. God gives you an opportunity to turn on praise music while you're in the car. God gives you opportunity to put on praise music while you're working out. God gives you opportunity to read a couple passages of scripture while you're waiting for your next appointment to come. God gives us so many opportunities to enter into his rest, and we just go, I'm good. I'll wait till Sunday. By the way, I'm not preaching this to you. I'm preaching this to me, just so you know. Hopefully you get something out of it. But I know this is something that I have not been very good at lately. I am thankful for people who have been very good at texting me throughout the week with comments or questions on the readings for the year through the Bible, because it's like, I got to be doing this. It's a reminder of rest. I'm thankful for the times that I'm in the car and I don't turn on any music because I was like, I need to just stop and think on what God has. I don't need to stop and do nothing, because sometimes when I turn on the radio, what am I doing? I'm just vegging out. I'm not actively working hard at resting. And that's why he says, verse 11, the key, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Translated, work hard at resting. Wow. Because let me tell you, when you actually listen to God's word and you do what it says, it will change you. And what I'm hoping is that you're sitting there not resisting, saying, I don't want to change. But I'm hoping that you're sitting there going, my life is not going well enough for me not to do this. I am tired. I am wearied. I'm tired of running from God. I need something new in my life. I need to start listening to God. And then he gives this quick little couple verse thing all about the word of God. And you've probably heard it before. It's pulled out of context, but not in a bad way. It's actually still in context. But it's the idea behind this is listening to God's word and allowing it to do, because God's word is going to do something to you. Look what it says. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I am amazed at what God does with his word. Sometimes I get offended, but I try not to. I remember so vividly years ago, someone came up to me and they were like, I just found out this incredible spiritual insight in the script, in a particular scripture passage. And I'm like, which passage? And they told me the passage. I'm like, I just preached on that like 3 weeks ago. So they must have like hurt, like it affected them. And they're like, wow, this is, and I'm like, Well, what is it that you learned? And they're like, I was just listening to Greg Laurie yesterday. And I'm like, Greg Laurie, like, okay, he's nice. Well, I'm curious, maybe Greg Laurie isn't going to get it right. So what did he say? They said, you know, when we talk about how that the church is so strong and that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, I always thought that was like the church is this big, gigantic fortress and that the devil will attack and it won't be able to attack the fortress. But that's not what it says. And I'm just sitting there like, yeah, no doubt. I just preached on this 3 weeks ago. Go ahead, please enlighten me. And they're like, it's amazing. That means when we go and advance against Satan, when we go to take ground that belongs to him, He can't stop us. And I'm like, wow, that's brilliant. I really wish someone would have said that to you earlier, like 3 weeks ago. No, I wasn't like that. I was like it inside, but I just had a smile on my face. I'm like, that's awesome. That's great. Good for you. Do you know why it happened that way? It was because 3 weeks ago, that's not what she needed to hear. What she needed to hear was on that one day, and God chose to use someone other than me to say it. What a great thing. I think, have you ever done that when you're reading scripture and you're like, oh, didn't see that there before? Yeah, that's because God's word is active. And if you're like, how come I've never been told this before? Chances are you have been told that, and it just didn't apply to you then. And now God is saying, I need to tell you something important. It is living. It is active. That's why God's word is so important, because then God's word is going to change you. It's going to divide heart and soul. It's going to rip you. It's going to take off things that are not necessary. It's going to take out parts that aren't helpful for you, and it's going to say, this is what you need to focus on, and this is what you need to do in your life. And let me tell you, God's word has constantly, this sounds so blasphemous, God's word has constantly changed for me, meaning that it is applied in my life in so many different ways. The things that I struggle with now, I didn't struggle with as a teenager, as a college student. But I struggle with different things. Now God's saying this. That's why it's amazing whenever, it is the greatest compliment whenever someone comes up to me and says, Pastor Manning, your sermon today on insert random thought that I didn't say during the sermon here. And I go, really? And they're like, yeah, you said this, this, and this. And I'm like, I didn't say any of that. And that's because that was God. God's speaking. That's God's word. You're hearing this, and right now you're going through stuff going, yeah, this applies to me because of this or this or this. And you're not hearing it from me, but you're hearing it from God. That's why it's important to hear God's word and put it into practice. Work hard at resting. Work hard at going, okay, God, I've messed up my life. I don't know what to do. And God says, well, first of all, you need to know how much I love you. Because that's what he's saying. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of to whom we must give an account. All of your sin, God has already seen. All of your mess ups, God has already seen. He's already seen the stupid things you're going to do tomorrow. Isn't that great? Or a year from now, he already knows that you're messed up. He doesn't want you to live that way because we live in chaos. He says, I want you to be able to rest. And the way you rest is when you hear my word and then you do it. You're going to find a peace that is going to pass any sort of human understanding that you're going to find. That's what God's word does, but you don't just hear it and walk away. You hear it and you go, I'm messed up. And God says, I know, I love you. I really need to work hard at resting. He says, that's right. Work hard. I'm going to give it to you freely, clearly. But what if I don't? I'm still here, and I love you, and let's do it again. Do you want to know how many times I've started and stopped working hard for God? Oh, my goodness. I do it so often. It's pathetic. So I know you guys do, too. And God is saying, yeah, let's start again tomorrow. Yeah, let's start again today. Don't just hear the word. Put it into practice. What is God saying to you that you need to change right now so that you can actually enter into rest? Not so you can take a nap, not so you can surf on YouTube, not so you can check out how many people have liked your photos. Resting in God, because when we read God's word, the most important thing it says is how much he loves us, and that he will always be there for us. Join with me in prayer. And I guess I surprised you there. Verse 14, 15, and 16 actually have to do with the next section. Whoever subdivided the book of Hebrews did not get enough rest and did not get enough sleep. And they're like, this looks like a good place. Because he starts talking about the high priest. And then chapter 5, verse 1, it talks about every high priest. They go together. So that's where we're stopping right here. Let's pray. Father, we have not entered into rest properly. We have fought against it in so many ways. We have chosen to go our own path. We have chosen to do our own thing. And every time we do this, we end up not receiving the rest that we are supposed to be receiving. And we wonder why we are so spiritually tired and we're wearied and we're exhausted. And we just don't know if we can go any further. And then you come to us and you say, come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. So, Lord, I pray that right now, lunch plans would be put on the back burner. I pray that this upcoming week and all the things that we've got to do are just put on the back burner. And that we sit here right now and we rest in you and we receive this praise because you are going to do something new in us. Your word is affecting us and changing us. We are hearing again, maybe for the very first time, because this was the time we needed to hear it, about just how much you love us, so much you are willing to die for us. And that you love us so much you can't leave us in the state we're in, but instead you want us to be closer to you and to have our lives reflect you, and that we're to be working hard at resting in you. We know, Lord, that our sins are laid bare before you right now. There, you see them. Maybe others don't see it. Maybe we've hidden it well. But you see it. And we're scared. Because what will you actually do with someone like us who is completely and utterly messed up like this? And you've already said, come and receive. And you will receive that rest. So Lord, we come to receive this wonderful gift of bread and wine, your body and blood, so that we once again might have our attention focused on you and that we can ultimately know that Jesus is greater than any weariness we are feeling right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So for our time of communion, let this be a time of rest.